Men of God, arise as a PPK, priest, prophet, and king. The priest in you will bring the needs of your family and community to God. The prophet declares the word of God over his family. The king in you governs over all that God has entrusted you with. Join me, Apostle Gerald Benton, as I encourage, lead, and teach men to walk in their God-given kingdom role as a priest, prophet, and king.
Hey, hey, hey. Yo. Welcome to PPK Podcast, Priest, Prophets, and Kings. Yeah. Listen.
Let's go.
Today, I have with me Mr. Devon Jackson. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. I can tell you I was under heavy demonic influence. Okay. I was under heavy. Looking back now, right. I was under heavy demonic. I opened myself up to so many demonic things. Conversations that I was having, relationships that I had, not even relationships with the females, but just relationships with folks that I don't need to be in relationship with.
Right. Right.
Like, so, and it's
ungodly soul ties. Man,
right. Like, ungodly
counsel
stuff. I didn't renounce from even before that.
Yeah.
I think you're separate. Y'all not living. So I think you are allowed to date when you're separated, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Because I don't think I'm going to get back with her anyway. So you're right. I can just start now. Right. Yeah. That was the mindset. But these are conversations that are needed because, your wife said this. I've heard her, and I've heard you say this many times. We said it before. Restoration and reconciliation are two different things.
Two different things.
Like reconcile. I understand. I remember saying to her in my apartment, we were talking, and I said, you know what? Let's just start over. You're a different person. I'm a different person. Let's just start over. And that was the beginning of the reconciliation piece. I think the reconciliation is there. I think restoration needs to be full. I don't think we're not fully at restoration.
Yeah.
We're luckily, I believe both of us are in the right state of mind and we have the mind of Christ to be restored in our marriage. Yes. And I think these conversations that we're talking about now is going to help. I think it's going to jump from, if I were to put a number, her number might be different.
Right.
If I were to put a number on what our restoration process is, between 0 and 10, I'd probably say a six.
Yeah.
And I think these conversations that we're going to have is going to jump us all the way to like an 8.5. I think because they're critical to me understanding how she thinks,
yeah.
me understanding what she went through and what I did to never do it again. Those type of things. Like if you learn from your mistakes, then you understand, okay, I'm not going to do it again. Because the one person that learns from their mistakes, even though you don't learn from your mistakes, is the enemy. Yeah. Oh, he learns. He watches.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
Yeah. So I think that restoration is going to jump, skip. Now, again, I don't know where her number is. And it's going to be interesting if her number is at a 4 and mine is at a 6. I'm like, okay, so you got to let me know what we need to do. So
there you go.
So, yeah.
So I got another question.
Yeah.
So
intensity.
How about the... Okay, because you use restoration and reconciliation. So when y'all start getting back together, right, and you, because I remember the conversation, and you, she came into the apartment, right, and things had to change, and you had a mindset of, that's dumb. I'm not getting rid of that. I'm not getting rid of that. I'm not getting rid of that. And how did you possibly think that it was okay
to keep
that stuff and try to rebuild your marriage?
Yeah.
How was that possible? What was going through your mind that you thought that was okay?
Yeah. Like, I'm not, because it was my stuff. It was my stuff. That's interesting. I wasn't thinking from that perspective of making her feel comfortable. It was like, I think I was still in the process of like, I got to make sure this is what's going to be. Like, we're going to try it again. But I was still, I think my guard was still up. So I wasn't really looking at, her comfort level. Mm-hmm. I was still like, let me figure this out. Because I can tell you this, going into marriage, I always said, and it's not just about Maxine, but me thinking about marriage, I would always say, look, I'm only doing it once, because if it don't work, I'm never doing it again. Mm-hmm. I would always have that. And that's what led to me like, oh, okay.
So and it's not working, the enemy recorded that.
He recorded it and kept it. Oh, my Lord, he kept it.
Because he is a, listen.
He kept
one, one thing he's going to do is use your words against you.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's going to use your words against you. So here's the scenario. So you felt like it was your stuff.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, because we're talking about being able to go back and see things and apologize for things, because think about the trauma, right? The disappointment. Because if I say or she says, well, I'm not comfortable with all of this.
Right.
I need this stuff gone. And you say, it's my stuff.
Right.
I'm not doing all of that.
Right.
So, but we're talking about, I want to reconcile. I want to restore our marriage, but I ain't willing to get rid of the very thing that's going to cause a person trauma, cause a person a problem. I don't want to come in your house and everything in your house going to remind me of the person that was in there eating, sitting there eating at the table, sitting there eating on the silverware and laying in the bed, sitting on the couch. Man, get rid of everything.
Literally everything, like literally everything. And when that conversation happened, I was like, oh God, like why? Like it was so convenient. Like I'm not getting rid of my, this is, you see this, we paid so much money for this thing. I'm not getting rid of this. Like I'm not getting rid of that stuff. I'm like, oh, and it was funny because she can probably tell you what I actually did. I just remember rolling my eyes like, oh, Lord, come on now. Like, really? But then because my heart posture was different. I can say that my heart posture was, I was still in here because again, remember my heart was always on my family,
right?
And getting my family back. And that it wasn't just my children. It was just my family meant my wife. I still wanted my family. And so because I didn't want to lose my family again, it was like, all right, I just got to get rid of stuff. So when she said that, she said it wasn't an agreement type thing. She just said it. And I think we were having a disagreement. And she says, I remember we were having a disagreement and it was like how do you know how it feels to lay up in the bed? Do you know how it feels to sit at the dinner table?
Exactly. Listen. I ain't throwing no stones.
Nah, go ahead.
I ain't doing none of that because I couldn't see a whole lot of stuff that I was doing wrong. Yeah. And my wife was like, you can't see this and you can't see that. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
Like, no, I can't.
Right.
Honestly, I can't.
I was just,
And you didn't.
No, I didn't.
You could. So it took that and And so understanding that over time and there's a process of the healing, the restoring and the restoration of what God is trying to do. And everybody's process isn't the same.
Nope.
Right. It's not the same. And so now I literally had to ask God to allow me to see my wife's perspective and to have a different level of compassion for what she's dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause dealing with me, Lord, she needed all the grace, all the strength, all everything.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't the brightest.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing the brightest stuff. You know, I just wasn't. Mm-hmm. And so having to deal with that and still deal with her, right? And it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
And when you have to literally now change the process, like I need you to now focus on the healing of your wife. Like I'm in a season where all I want to do is make my wife comfortable.
Yeah.
All I want to do is make her happy. All I want to do is make sure that she's in a good place, not just for me, but for her to be able to do what God has called for her to do.
Mm-hmm.
She just texts me and was like, I thank you for allowing me to do what I do. And I'm like, you're more than welcome because I need you to be all that God has called for you to be.
Yeah.
And so now you're in a different place because when you start operating in reconciliation, there's more in that for it to change into the restoration. I mean, yeah, the restoration of it, and watching God literally start to identify.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
It's the identifying these little small things, identifying these things that have been kinks mm-hmm. that we haven't even paid attention to. Mm-hmm. And they've been in our life for so long. Right. Yep. We wasn't even paying attention to them until, okay, oh, now my eyes are open.
Yeah.
But guess what? You had to change environments. You had to change locations. You had to change the way you do things. Mm-hmm. And now God can now open your mind, because there's no longer you operating with ungodly counsel mm-hmm. or dealing with, you know, soul ties,
right?
Any of that type of stuff. God had to literally move you away from people, places, and things to save your life.
Yeah,
literally. Not just to save your literally. Marriage, but to save your life.
Literally.
Because you were literally, as he was saying to me, you're throwing your life away.
Yeah. There was still remnant of separation that I couldn't take. I will say this too. I'm glad that you said concentrating on the healing of your wife. That, like, right now I'm in this space where I want to understand all the things, because I am the head of the household. Mm-hmm. I take responsibility for the first 5 years of our marriage mm-hmm. because I wasn't in my place. Mm-hmm. Just like Adam, he wasn't in his place. That's why Eve did what she did, because he wasn't in his place to protect and to say, don't do this. Mm-hmm. And so, because I was in my place, we went through all that stuff emotionally, mentally, physically, all those type of things. And so right now I'm like, all right, I'm thinking like, okay, we need to rehash some things, because I need to find out what happened here so that I know, so I can recognize what the enemy did, so I can, so it can not happen again. There was a situation that we went through during a visit to Philly back home, and we came back here and we've been talking about it. And I asked her, one of the questions I asked her was, because we didn't process yet, because I was still processing, and she processed it, and I didn't give place for her to process because I felt like if she processed, that means I'm going to have to process, and I wasn't ready to process it. But one of the questions I asked her was, did you feel protected during that time? And I had a perspective on how I was protecting her, of course, but she said no. And I'm thinking like, and then I asked her. Now I didn't ask her that to prove that I was. I asked her that just so that I want to know what I did not do, so I can correct it the next time.
Right, get now, the information.
I'm studying her, like you always say. Like, mm-hmm. and so now I'm in that space, and that's what these conversations are going to come to, because I want to know. I want not to rehash the trauma,
right.
but just to, you know,
to get better,
just to situation by situation,
get better.
And so these are situations by situations that allows me to say, you know what, I need to do this, because again, I want to get to the place where I admire how you and your wife can just talk about stuff, and you're just transparent. And she can say something like, yeah, remember when you used to do this? And you go like, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And then like, yeah, I remember that. And then y'all just move forward. I'm thinking like, man, and I asked my question, I wonder if me and my wife are in that space. And so like, oh, you know why I'm questioning, if I have to question whether we are or not, that means we're not.
Yeah.
And so that means I have to ask some questions and mm-hmm. receive the answers mm-hmm. and be ready to receive the answers.
And be okay with them.
And be okay with the
answers. Be okay with it.
And be okay with the answers. So, you know.
Because it helps you be, it helps it you does. Get better.
Yep.
You know, my wife gave me some brutal truths, man. And,
yeah, brutal truths.
And those things, those things were real, man, because it was things that I didn't see,
mm-hmm.
right? It was like, how could you not see this, Gerald? And I couldn't. I had scales off of my eyes.
Yeah.
I only saw what I wanted to see. You know what I mean? Because it was a me, myself, and I was dealing right. with pride. I was right. dealing with right. selfishness.
Yep.
I was dealing with all of those things, and it makes you blind. It's like it literally mm-hmm. makes you blind.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, God was like, I need you to go into a place of studying her,
yeah.
like literally study her, because she changes. And every year there's something, a shift that happens. And if you don't study here, then you behind. Yes. It's just like any other thing. If you don't study, then you can't pass. Right. You're not going to pass. You're not going to progress. You're not going to go to the next grade. Mm-hmm. So when you start to doing what you're doing, it's now like, OK, I need to study my wife differently. Yes. I have to be more intentional in the way that I study her. I need to study her mindset. I need to study her movements. I need to study her moves. I need to study every aspect about her, because I can't be offended or be disappointed at things that I should already know.
Right.
I should already know. Me and my wife can have a whole conversation across the room without even talking to each other. If I lean my head a certain way, she knows, oh, anybody ready to go?
Yeah.
If it's a certain time, okay, we got to hurry up and get this done. Now, is that right? It shouldn't be. I shouldn't be in a moody place.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be in a place where she has to be uncomfortable or have to adjust her life and schedule. Mm-hmm. She's adjusted her life all this time for
utmost,
me.
To the
right.
Utmost.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So now I'm working on the things that she talked to me about, the things that she bring up, the things that she sees that I haven't been really focusing on, mm-hmm, or paying attention, mm-hmm, to. Mm-hmm. So being in this new place of studying her,
right,
with intent, like, I'ma study this woman because she's changing every day. Like, she's changing every day. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not paying attention to her, if I'm not studying her intentionally, then I'm losing.
Yep.
I'ma lose the position, yeah, that I'm supposed to be in.
Right.
Because I'm supposed to be in the head, right? I'm supposed to be the head. I'm supposed to lead her.
First ministry.
Exactly. And so there's so many of us men that are, you know, you have a powerful woman, or you have a right, woman that has great, mm-hmm, anointing, mm-hmm, on their life, mm-hmm, and a great calling on their life. And you have to cover that. Mm-hmm. You have to protect that. So if you don't never ask questions, you never inquire about how they are, right, about their emotions, about their feelings. You know, it was a long time before I got to that place.
Yeah.
And I thank God for the awakening that I'm awake to see what I need to do. And then that's not the end point. The end point is, when you get the information, mm-hmm, will you actually do it?
Right.
You remember we was talking about hearing, mm-hmm, and listening, mm-hmm, right? We were talking about hearing and listening. Yes. Like, you heard her say this, but you didn't have, yeah, intent to do it.
Yeah.
You didn't even get to the process of listening. So a lot of us in that hearing part, because of bad communication, mm-hmm, in the past, right? That makes us, mm-hmm, that makes us get into a place of unforgiveness.
Yeah.
That gets us into a place where we don't want to love the person because, yeah, of what, yeah, they said long time, yep, ago. Right. So you start getting offended and you start hearing things in a wrong context.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
My wife used to say, she'll ask me, she'll say, repeat back to me what I just said. Yeah. And I'll repeat back to her. It was like, I was speaking a foreign language. She looked at me. She was like, I didn't say that. That's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, but I didn't say that, mm-hmm, as a teacher, she is. So she starts saying, could you repeat back to me what I just said? She would do like 5-10 minutes. Right. And then she would ask me that question. Right. Because offense, unforgiveness, bitterness, all of that stuff starts to run together, and it makes for your relationship to be toxic.
Coming like,
and it'll make, man, you want to, yeah, walk away.
A whole group of demons.
What? It'll make you want to walk away.
Yep.
I'm leaving. I ain't dealing with this. You know, because one, you don't know how to communicate.
Right.
Two, you're hearing it wrong. Three, you ain't willing to work on what is actually being said. Mm-hmm. So if I don't want to be held accountable to it, I don't want to hear it.
I'm on the other side because I was the one who was a communicator, but how I was communicating in a very condescending way because that was me.
So you wasn't a good communicator anyway.
I wasn't, right.
You're supposed to be a good communicator, but you wasn't a good communicator.
I was the person who was not afraid to share my feelings and all that. I went to college to learn how to talk to somebody. Got a degree in communication.
And
got
how did that work?
A master's degree in counseling.
And how did that work? That,
but I'm still condescending. Sender, receiver. Yeah, all that. So, you know, one thing I would love to say, you said something earlier that you said how powerful your wife is and how powerful our wives was. I think that's the one thing that allows me to want to study her more and more and more because of how powerful she is. And because I say to people, Max, and this is for me, Max is the most righteous person I know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can, you know, I'm glad I'm at the space where I can say, did I do this right? And she said, like, should I feel like I feel offended about this? Tell me what. She's like, well, like I'm this. She's like, that's the spirit of offense. I'm like, but the spirit. I'm like, oh God, she's right. Like, and I can be myself with her. This is why I want to learn and do and apologize and forgive all these things because of how powerful she is. She gets all the credit for who I am right now.
Yeah.
She gets all the credit for all the labor she did in those COVID years, because that's when we separated. Yeah. Literally, separation, COVID, 19, 20, 21. It was there. She labored, coming to the house, bringing me dinner, right? Knocking on the door. Why is this woman, would you go home?
Coming to our house, you sharing with somebody else.
I didn't ask for dinner. Get out of here. Go somewhere. Oh, you need this? You need that? You like calling, you want to like all this labor. I'm pretty sure going home angry, frustrated. I don't want to do this. All those type of things. Praying she did. All the stuff she did brought me to this moment right now. And I can do nothing but acknowledge that it was because of her labor that brings me to this space of saying, I need to learn more about you and understand your perspective.
My God, you did hear yourself. When you said, why you coming here with all of this?
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Like, come
yeah,
on
go back and apologize for that.
Yep.
Talking, because that's her trying to do something God is telling her to do. And then the backlash from it of that is disappointing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hurtful.
And I never thought I had to apologize for that stuff.
Right.
Because we're here.
Right. But it's the trauma aspect of it never being, like you said, it's never been brought back up.
Yep.
It's never been brought back up. But to whom much is given, much is required.
Amen.
If you actually have, God has brought it back to your attention and he's brought it back to your remembrance, then it's up to you now to do it right, to deal with it right, to handle it right, to help the other person to get healed. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm confessing what I did. I'm confessing, you know, how I felt. I'm confessing that I was wrong mm-hmm. when I said what I said and how, and I apologize for how you felt and when you walked away, how disappointed you was because you was expecting something different. Mm-hmm. And I gave you the worldly me. I gave you the disappointing me. And I forgive, ask you to just forgive me because I don't want you to hold on to it. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing that stuff kind of lingers if it's never, you know, if it's never dealt with.
And so, that's why I don't want it to linger. So yeah.
My God. Y'all, I hope this thing blessing y'all.
Yeah.
Cause this is real talk. This is real talk. This is PPK podcast where men come on and we're gonna talk for real. We're not in here trying to sugarcoat anything. This is these are transparent moments.
Absolutely.
That we gotta do better. And when if you come on here, I pray that you're thinking about, I got to do better because I'm coming on PPK podcast. I got to understand that we got to do better. Once again, to whom much is given, much is required. So God is requiring us to actually walk this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
Devon, I thank you for joining me.
Yeah.
I know you'll be back for some more episodes. I like this. This is first episode it. Of us just hanging out and doing some things. You know, he a producer and he a host. So he co-host. So he come on and we just chop it up and we talk real stuff. And if there's topics, men that you want us to talk about, come on now. Email me. It's PPK info at ppkglobal.org. Yep. Info at ppkglobal.org. Listen, we're getting ready to have a man's retreat.
Yeah.
Fisher of men.
Let's go.
Right. We went last year, man. We had a ball. We fished. We had fun. We talked. We conversated. We fellowship. And we had a baptism. Stop playing. I had a baptism.
Where y'all going? We're going to
Tampa, Florida. We're going back to Tampa. We got a captain, man, that took us to some spots, man.
2 hours out. You can't even see land.
It was 2 hours, but it felt like it was longer than 2 hours. Man, and that was my first time ever being on a boat, like deep sea fishing. I done been on a boat, but deep sea fishing, like I ain't know what to expect. I really didn't. And it was a lot of people. That it was their first time fishing, and everybody caught some fish. Everybody came home. They filleted the fish for us. We ate fish that night. So we had fish and grits. So we had a really good time. You know, we went jet skiing. You know, some I ain't gonna say no names, but some people they ain't last long on a jet ski. You know, they lasted about 10 minutes. So I was happy they last 10 minutes because that gave me more than 30 minutes to ride. Come on now. But yeah, so it's June
5th through the 9th.
June 5th through the 9th. Yep. Go to my website, ppkglobal.org, and sign up if that's something that you want to do. Now, remember that this is June 5th through the 9th. Yeah. 2025.
You only got 4 spots left now.
Only got 4 spots left. If that's listen, hey, wives, if your husband is a fisherman and he wants to go, hey, he's more than welcome. Listen, go on, get on the website and lock him in because if you don't lock him in, those spaces are gonna go fast. Because listen, we do have fun.
It's a great time for fellowship too. Men just being men,
that's
you
it.
Know, and just talking God, you know, being godly men. I mean, we don't do stuff without bringing God in it. So it's a great time. It's a great time.
And also go to my podcast, PPK podcast on Mondays and Wednesdays. We got plenty episodes. Go back through the archives and check them out. Listen, this is real talk. This is real talk. And I enjoy what God is actually doing for the priests, prophets, and kings, because God is really and truly allowing us to see our role, our authentic role as biblical men to walk this thing out. It's not about us just understanding or reading the word, but it's about being and doing the word. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
That's good.
Once again, thank y'all for joining us on PPK Podcast. It was an excellent time.
Well, thank you for joining me today on the Priest, Prophet, and King podcast. I hope this message has inspired you to understand and walk in your biblical role of a PPK in your family and community. Men, if you need strategies to help you navigate through hard places in your life,
join me Monday and Wednesday at 8 a.m. for PPK Podcast, The Making of a Kingdom Man,
where men from all over the world come to talk strategies with the Word of God being our foundation. You can go to our website, ppkglobal.org, for more information. If you need accountability, training, and mentoring, check out our King's Army, training men to walk in their divine position as heads of the family, God's way. Listen, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast of your favorite platform so you never miss an episode. I would love to hear from you, so please leave me a review and send me your thoughts and questions. You can also follow me on Facebook, PPK, Priest, Prophet, and King, IG, PPK Global, Spotify, Apple Music for more updates and information. I will be back next week with more insight into the recipe of a kingdom man. Until then, remember, day by day, situation by situation, we have to get better. I pray you continue to be blessed in your journey as a priest, prophet, and king.
See you next week.